Hello, friends. My name is Virgil Cantrip. I travel around the wastes, documenting and sharing the stories of the people who survive and thrive out in the United States of Apocalypsia. Upon exiting the cave, I finally felt something besides numbness. Unfortunately, it was desperate thirst. So much has happened since I left for that hike. I haven't had a drink since then, and I fear these kids have gone even longer. The sky remains dry once more. The clouds bear no water, only harsh, dry smoke. We stepped out from the cave, following Fox's lead down to Overlook. We either sneak up on the hunter while he is there, or set a trap for him in his home. Fox talks about going back for Tortoise, but Rabbit says Tortoise is beyond saving. Mouse walks behind us all, still silent and sad. The obscured gray of early dawn has broken up into a lighter, bluer sky as the sun reaches down to us, its life-giving light dispersing through the smoke above. The ground in this forest is dry and cracked, nearly as dry as my throat. Dead leaves crinkle under our feet, decomposing to return their nutrients to the earth below them. The presence of so much dead, so many dry leaves and twigs, makes it nearly impossible for us to sneak. Fox tells me that doesn't matter much. Speed will be our advantage. As we run through these unfamiliar woods into the valley, we see many familiar scenes played out over and over. Old traps, discarded carcasses picked apart by scavengers. The trees are densely packed, tighter, dying slowly of thirst. Fox hears it first and her head perks up. Then Rabbit and Mouse hear it. Looking around, I finally see and hear what has caught their attention, about 200 yards in front of us. Running through the woods, at a speed far outpacing us, was another teenager. He's nearly an adult. I look over and see my companions, silent, looking at each other and looking around as they all crouch down. I see the same fear in his actions as ours. He must be one of the prey. We must help him. Rabbit grabs me and motions me and Mouse to climb up a tree to its lower branches and wait. He shushes me and whispers to me that if Wolf is running like that, the hunter must be nearby. We can't give away our position. Too late! Fox has run down to Wolf. She makes no sound as she climbs up a tree beyond Wolf's field of vision. She throws a twig at his head and makes a howling sound. Wolf instinctively drops down and howls. Rabbit jumps down from our hidden position, and the others run to join Wolf. It appears he has not been followed. Wolf backs away reflexively, and then eyes Rabbit up and down. He turns his eyes to me and Mouse, less hidden behind the trees than I thought. His eyes meet mine and narrow. Wolf looks defensively at me and asks, "Who is the stranger?" "He is a friend," says Rabbit. Fox jumps down to join her compatriots, and Mouse jumps down into her arms. Rabbit then takes Wolf and the others aside and whispers something to them. I try my best to appear as if I am not listening in, looking up at the sky. For the first time since I've seen them, I see young Mouse crack a smile while the others hold back some laughs. I can't catch too much of what Rabbit is whispering. I think I heard the words "not very helpful, but okay, I guess." I haven't the foggiest what they're referring to. Rabbit then points at me, and I point back, send a friendly thumbs up and wave. Fox then waves me to come down to the clearing too. I leap down onto a branch that snaps under my weight, bringing me crashing down. Rabbit and Wolf burst out laughing, and Fox and Mouse are the only ones to help me up. Though my hump and humility are both badly bruised, I laugh too. It is the first laugh that any of us has had in too long. For the first time, I see a smile shine through the dirt-smeared faces of these lost children. Trying to balance myself once more, I step forward to introduce myself to the mysterious Wolf. I offer up a hand, and he sniffs at it, and reaches forward, grabbing it far tighter than even kings have. I squeak out a "nice to meet you," and pull my hand back from his paws. Rabbit asks, "Where is Raccoon? What happened in Overlook?" Wolf looks down and away from the group as he chokes out. The hunter is probably finishing up his ritual with Raccoon now, and soon will be after my trail next. I would not go back there. There is no help, only traps all over, laid down by the hunter. That place is hell. I interject, "Maybe we better go straight to the hunter's den." Wolf looks at them in disbelief. He barks, "That is mad! You want to go right into the belly of the beast?" "That would be a move he would not suspect, and maybe we could take his guns." and fight back, Fox says in response, unflinching in front of the mad barking dog. Wolf stops his yowling and rubs his temples with both hands. He sighs and says he guesses we're going back after doing so much to escape. Together now, we run. Wolf leads us from the front. Fox, taking Mouse by the hand, covers the back. I tell you, friends, perhaps it is just adrenaline or something, because I do not understand how these kids could run so fast, being locked up in cages for so long. Maybe the will to live free is strong enough. But friends, Virgil is getting damn tired. My legs can barely move. Wolf leads us away from Overlook and away from the cave. Further on up the mountain, we stop for a moment, and I see the towering cabin from before. Everything clicks. That is the Hunter's Den. Where else could it be? We run right to it. Everyone moves with their eyes forward, focused solely on our destination and arriving before the Hunter does. If he's performing his ritual on Raccoon, we may have a chance to beat him there. As I run, I see something new in everyone's eyes, something I hadn't seen before. We arrive to a clearing on the mountain, and we see it. A two-story cabin. A nice one, too. Huge timbers crisscrossing up the side of the cabin. A giant glass A-framing the front. From the outside, we could see all the way through the cabin. From this spot, beyond the cabin, one could look upon the whole valley with a bird's eye view. We try the door. It's open. I remark to the group, "You'd think he'd know how to lock his house up." Fox responds, "Why do you say that, Virgil? Did you lock your house?" "Well, oh my, look at that." I respond and point to the door, attempting to divert the conversation. Inside the cabin is a luxurious scene. Massive overstuffed couches and intricately crafted tables are on display, neatly within the living room. The kitchen is clean and brightly lit, with natural rays from the sun coming in through the massive A-framed window. To the left and to the right, there are stairs, one set leading up and one set leading down. Wolf stops us from moving further. "We won't have long," Wolf says. "We must free Tortoise and find the Hunter's weapons." "Which way?" I ask my friends. Fox and Rabbit point to the stairs leading down into the basement. "That is where he kept us," they say. Wolf points up the stairs and says he has heard the Hunter talk about his trophy room. He must keep the guns around there, too. I join Wolf to take the left staircase to the upper floor. On the stairway wall, we pass trophies of various animals, starting with antlers, and then antlered deer and moose heads. Then we see a wolf's head, and even a bear's head. We reach the top of the stairs in a long hall. We first pass a bathroom and then a bedroom. The door is locked. "It must be Tom's room," I say. Wolf looks at me and says, "Who?" I look back at him. "The Hunter's name is Tom," I tell him. "I have read his journal." Wolf retorts, "He does not care what his real name is. That man is a monster, and for us to keep going." Down the hall, there are paintings of forest scenes and pictures of animals. No pictures of people. Certainly none of Tom, Alice, or Daniel. There is another door, a bathroom. I check the sink for running water. Yes, it works! Maybe it's tied up to a well, or maybe it's poison. At this point, I don't care as I swallow whole mouthfuls, nearly choking it down. The sweet, blessed relief pouring down my throat. Wolf hears me and turns back, joins me, does the same. Can't imagine the last time he had a good drink of water either. We rinse our faces and look in the mirror. For the first time in a while, I take a good look at the man I am. Wolf calls me into the next room. He shouts that he's found where he keeps the guns. And I push the open door further to reveal a room with racks upon racks, cases and lockers. Upon further inspection, most of them empty. In fact, there are very few guns and not much ammo. "I thought he would have had more," I say to Wolf. "So did I," he replies. "Can't believe he's kept us in such fear. He's only got a couple of bullets left," Wolf adds. Then, on the table, I see a familiar sight. "Hey, that's mine." And I pick up the loaded harpoon gun. Wolf looks at it and says, "Interesting choice, I guess." Wolf then picks up a rifle and some cartridges and two pistols. He grabs the only remaining weapon, a shotgun, and loads it up. He takes the remaining munitions from around the room and stuffs it all into one of the backpacks he grabs. The Hunter won't be needing them anymore. At the end of this room, there is a door. I point to it and ask Wolf if he has checked in there for any more weapons. Wolf looks me squarely in the eyes. He says, "I'm not sure you want to see what's in there, Virgil. That is the trophy room." I thought this whole floor was the trophy room. I've seen stuffed heads and bodies all over the place. Out here, I've even seen Bears standing all the way up, bobcats, and even mounted wolves. What other trophies could there be? Wolf looks at me and says, "What else do you think?" before he walks out of the room and down the hall. I pause for a second. Should I go in? We should get out of here as soon as we can. But I am a curious person. Friends, you are curious people too if you have stuck with me this far. I twist the handle. The door creaks open and slides forward slowly. I push it further. Natural light streams in from skylights and large bay windows into the room. Mounted trophies line the wall. Stacked up 4 high and 10 deep are plates with heads mounted on each one. There are no antlers, no claws. At the end of the room are 3 mounted figures, each standing nearly 6 feet tall, covered by sheets. The bottom of the figures, carved in wood, Curtis, Buck, and Forrest. I tear the sheets off and see them, arms outstretched in front of them. Not in an attacking position. No, these arms are reaching out to protect their faces, to shield themselves from the fate that inevitably befell them. I look back at the wall of horrid faces, their horrible screams, captured in their final moments. Unnatural, horrid, disgusting heads, arms nailed to the wall, crisscrossed over an old shield, as if the coat of arms for an old, twisted demon knight. Then on the desk, surrounded by jars of organs and embalming fluid, I see the words spelled out in a simple, clean handwriting over an old photo of a man and his family. They say, to hunt them is to free them. I freeze. Fear, disgust, loathing, hate. None of these can describe my abject horror at the monstrosities of this room. All laid out clean. The sheer order of this madness strikes more fear in me than had I seen pools of blood. I look away, dash back into the armory, and I sink down, my back against the wall. Then I hear her. Miss Fritz! I hear her! How I miss the sweet sounds and comforts of home! Wait, I hear her pulling up. I regain my composure and look out the window. I see her pulling into the driveway. She stops. I see a man stepped out, covered in a coat of deerskin hide. His hat covering his face from my upstairs vantage, a scoped rifle slung over his shoulder, and a bag in his hand. I can see a trail, God, blood dripping down from the bag. Giving in to my curiosity and the disregard of my sanity, I poke my head back into the room of death. I look at the wall and see several open mounting plates, 2 labeled, raccoon and wolf. Oh no. I run downstairs to the others. Clutching my harpoon in hand, the living room is empty. The others must be in the basement. I jump across the living room before he can see me through the giant glass window. I hope my friends know he is coming. I nearly fall over myself on top of the stairs. Thank goodness I did not set off my harpoon gun. I make it to the bottom of the stairs to warn my friends, and I see them, all gathered around a table dripping blood. Oh my God. They stand, looking over the body of a young boy they only knew as Tortoise. I try to speak, but barely cough out spit and vomit. I finally choke out. He's here! He's here! We need to get out of here! Now! Wolf tells me we need to burn this unholy altar. We must stop this crazed demon before he kills again. Fox and Rabbit grab some gasoline canisters from the closet. They begin pouring them out onto the floor. Fox tells me they're going out an exit in the back, the one they originally escaped from. Once the fire is started, they will take Mouse with them to meet us at Miss Fritz. Wolf and I, armed with his rifle and my harpoon gun, ascend the stairs. We now prowl on the hunt. The air in the cabin has become strong with the stench of gasoline. We shut the basement door as we get into position behind the couch, guns trained on the front door, and wait. The handle turns. The door pushes slightly forward, but then is pulled back shut. Wolf and I look at each other, confused. The door then crashes open, swinging all the way into the wall, and Wolf and I both shoot into the doorway. Empty! He knew it was a trap. The others! Wolf and I run to the basement door. Smoke pours out from under it. The handle burns my hand to the touch. The fire has already started down there. Wolf gives the door a stiff kick at the knob, and the door swings open, revealing a room engulfed in flames. We turn to the front door again and look down the barrel of a long rifle, its sights pointed directly at Wolf. Suddenly, an explosion from inside the basement rocks the cabin. We all stumble to the ground. There must have been more than a few cans of gas stored in the basement. Wolf rises first, takes aim, and shoots at the hunter. His gun jams. I frantically try to load up a new spear into my harpoon gun. The hunter pulls himself up, and Wolf rushes him and tackles him down. The two roll across the ground, exchanging fists. The hunter pins Wolf down as Wolf bites down hard onto the hunter's arm, spitting out bits of torn muscle and sinew. The hunter screams and reaches for his sidearm. I tackle him off of Wolf, and the gun flies out from his hands. The hunter pushes me off and rushes for it. The fire has spread elsewhere in the cabin and is now moving across the living room. I grab my harpoon gun and pull Wolf up. We dive out of the cabin as the hunter fires off several shots at us. We see Fox, Rabbit, and Mouse taking cover by the magic school bus. We run to them. Taking refuge behind my bus, I drop my harpoon gun down and fall to the ground with Wolf. The hunter steps out from the burning cabin. He waves keys in the air. He laughs and says, "Not going to get far without these." He steps forward menacingly. And begins to whistle and sing. When all the beasts were led astray, God said to the hunter, "All are prey. Nowhere to hide and nowhere to run, because the hunt is nearly done, for all beasts and men will die today." The hunter's steps begin pacing back and forth across the other side of the bus. We keep an eye on the boots clambering down on dry earth beneath his carriage. I call out to him, "Don't do this, Tom. This is not what Daniel and Alice would have wanted." He barks back at me. "I'm sorry. I didn't understand your call," he says. "I do not speak beast." I reply, "Stop it, Tom. You are the only beast here." "Me?" he says. "I am that which kills all beasts. I am the Lord of the Hunt. I am here to rid the world of the monsters who destroyed it. Monsters like you and the prey. Watch them. They are already feral. They will kill and hunt too. And the cycle will never end. I hunt to stop all of them from growing into the beasts they will become. The beasts that you are, Virgil. I read your book on the bus. I saw your stories. I listened to them. You think they have stories worth telling? Are you telling mine, too? Are you going to talk about poor Tom, the broken man? Or will you share the tale of the folly of man to become either hunter or prey? You are nothing but an animal, Virgil. A demon that invades a man's home and burns everything in its path. For recompense, I will destroy your home as you have burnt mine." He cackles. The fire has now spread throughout the cabin. Flames burst out from the doors and windows, cleaning the blood and devastation within. Smoke and flame rise further, bellowing from the shattered panes. I shout, "I can't wait till that fire reaches your trophy room. Yours is a story the world would better forget. You do not hunt because you are better than the beasts. You hunt because you are afraid. You are afraid of all people. So you play your twisted game with them, even with children. They are innocent. You are the monster, Tom. You think you're the only man who's ever lost to the ravages of this dark world? You think you're the only one with ghosts that haunt you? Tom, you are a coward. You have chosen to become a monster." The footsteps circling back and forth on the other side of the bus cease. In an instant, the boots are pulled up and gone. Magic school bus creaks in pain as the hunter climbs on top of her. "He's coming from above," shouts Wolf. There, standing on top of the bus, was Tom Jade, clutching his rifle in his hands, ready to shoot. Taking aim through his sights, he looks straight at a defiant Fox and whimpering Mouse. He hesitates. Then a click, a shot fired off. A spear impales Tom in the calf. Rabbit has shot him with a harpoon gun. He falls down from Fritz's roof and lands on the ground hard. On his tumble down, he drops his gun right in front of me, and I grab it before he claws at it, point the barrel right at his chest. Tom looks me right in the eyes. I see no fear. I see only hate. Only the tired, pale blue eyes of an old broken man showing relief. "Do it," he shouts. "Become the next hunter. End me. I am a beast like the others." I aim down the sights. I hesitate. I cannot kill him. I pity Tom Jade. This is a man who has lost everything. Become so broken. The world that broke him twisted him back into this shadow of a man. I cannot do it. I cannot start down his path. I toss the gun down, out of reach of the disarmed and disabled hunter. No, Tom. I won't give you the satisfaction. Fox picks up the gun. She aims it right at Tom's heart and says to him, "You are not a hunter. You are not a man. You are not even a beast. You are a shadow." And she fires. The bullet rips through Tom's chest, shooting all the way into the ground. He does not call out. He no longer screams. He whimpers and falls flat on his back, his eyes staring blankly open into the sky, his mouth revealing a last grimace. Take Tom's diary from my pack. Toss it into the sweltering inferno of the cabin. The fire from the cabin grows wilder. It spreads out from the house to the nearby trees. They take to spark instantly like matchsticks and spread out all around us. Wolf cries, "We've got to get out of this place!" I grab the keys off Tom and run round to Fritz's doors. Wolf and Mouse rush in behind me. Fox gazes out into the wildfire. Rabbit stands beside her. I step out of the bus and call to them, "Fox, Rabbit, let's get the hell out of here." Fox turns back to face us and howls. Rabbit turns with her and joins the call. Mouse runs out from the bus and howls, and Wolf joins in too. They all look to me, and I give my best wolf call. "Ow!" They laugh and smile. Mouse hugs Fox and Rabbit and pulls them toward the bus to join us. We drive off, following the mountain roads back to the highway. While I drive, all of the young prey, nestled together on my couch, sleep soundly. I look back and smile, wiping the smoke and dust away from my face. The sky, too, begins to shed its tears. For the first time since I've been here, it begins to rain down upon the mountain. We drive off into the night. I do not stop until I am well past the state line into the Carolinas. I pull off for the night, so that I may finally rest as well. I do not think I have slept since this whole ordeal began. Wistfully, in slumber, I do not hear the sounds of their return to the wild. I awoke alone, and on my table found a rabbit's foot necklace, wrapped in a simple note. It read, "Thank you, Virgil the Man. We will always remember you. We hope you will remember us too. But we will always be wild, and cannot go with you. Good luck out there, friend." Signed, Jack the Wolf, Amber the Fox, Ryan the Rabbit, and Peter the Mouse. Farewell, Jack, Amber, Ryan, and Peter. I hope you find a new home where you all can be free. So long for now, friends. Until next time, I wish you the best of luck out there in the wastes.